Morning, and thank you for joining with us this Sabbath day morning. We trust that the Lord is blessing you, is meeting your need. And as a believer, I trust that you're praying for normality, as we all are, that this old pandemic would soon go away. We believe that it is decreasing a little bit, the effects of the virus, but we need to see more of that. And we trust that the Lord will answer our prayers. We give a special word of welcome to those who are associated with the congregation in Agalee Free Presbyterian Church. We trust that everyone is keeping relatively well. The Lord is blessing you in your home. And as you do what you can in these days, by way of work and so on, that the Lord is meeting your need and giving you some encouragement along the way. I just have one or two things to mention to the congregation. Please, please do continue to pray for the word as it goes on to Facebook and to sermon audio. We do trust that the Lord will continue to use it and encourage his people through that, and also challenge those that are not saved. So we kindly ask the congregation, as you go in, to look at those messages on Monday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, and on Sunday as well, that you might, if you have time and you can remember, you might hit like and share. That simply means that it will be, what we broadcast will be shared by more people, and that is what we want to do. We don't boost our post. I know some of our congregations do boost their post and at costs, and we don't do that. So we do reach a number of people, and you can help that then by your sharing of the messages whenever you're listening or you have listened to what we have to say. The other thing is, congregation, if there is any spiritual need, please do contact me. I'm always here on the end of the phone for you, and we are praying for you. I want to assure you of that, and want also to thank you for your prayers, especially during this past week with the loss on Tara's side of the family. We do appreciate you upholding all of them at the throne of grace in prayer too. You might remember Tara's sister, who we believe has what they call long COVID and has been unwell really with this. I don't know all of the details, but it seems that COVID could have caused some kind of a heart complaint that is ongoing, and there's still scans and tests and so on going on with Wendy. So you might remember her in your prayers as well. The other thing is that we met last evening in presbytery, and it has been decided by the presbytery and accepted by the presbytery that our churches, you know, that were voluntarily closed at the moment because of health reasons, that our churches will be closed until the 1st of March. That's a Monday, the 1st of March. So that will mean that our first prayer meeting in church will be on the 3rd of March. Please do bear that in mind. And we will be meeting, God willing, on the Sunday, the 7th, following that. It's still several weeks away, but we're looking to the Lord and we're trusting that this will work out. Of course, if things get worse again, then we might not be able to open up. But that is the date at the moment, and I wanted to leave that with you. And we trust that over the next few weeks, as we continue to broadcast the word as we're doing now, that you will be blessed through the word. And we're also Zooming for the next number of weeks on our prayer meeting on Wednesday evening as well. It's a good time of fellowship, and we thank each one who's availed of this and trust that you continue to benefit from it. So this coming Wednesday evening, we will be on Zoom for our prayer meeting. I will have, God willing, a message up on Facebook and sermon audio for those who do not Zoom connect with the congregation. But we will also be bringing a word at the prayer time for you. And we will be seeking the Lord together just from 8 to 9 or so. And we trust you'll come along on Zoom with us if you can at that time. And then next Sunday, we'll have the messages up as usual. So we trust that the Lord will bless you today and encourage you. Please do remember again the meeting tonight. There will be a message up, God willing, for the evening time. I know that you may want to go and listen to testimonies somewhere or something like that, but please do support your own work. First of all, do come in and listen to the message, and then you have, well, we've lots of time, or a lot of people have lots of time now on Sunday to listen to other things, testimony and so on. But we trust that the Lord will use the word to speak to the hearts of unsaved, and we ask you please to pray to that end. Remembering, of course, all of those who are sick and bereaved at this time, the Reverend Jeffrey Abraham lost his mother during these past days. There's a man, one of our elders in Kilkeel, lost his father, and there have been others that have been bereaved as well. So there's much need to pray for God to comfort his own dear people in these days and to keep them stable and to encourage us in his word. Could we bow together then, just very briefly, in a word of prayer before we turn to the word now? We're going to read it and leave with you some thoughts from it. Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for thy goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to thee with all of our need. We do remember the words, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And we thank you, Lord, today that we have one in heaven who's concerned with our concerns, whether it is something which is huge and is a crisis or something which is little. We thank you, Lord, that God cares and understands. And Lord, we can indeed bring our petitions before thee. And Lord, we pray today for all who will listen and those who are listening now too, that the Lord would bless us in our own souls, that you would gather up our thoughts now as we turn to the word, that it might be a word in season for thy people. And we pray in these days, these strange times that we're living through, that the God of the word would continue to use his word to speak to his people. We thank you, Lord, that we are thy people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your great care toward us. And we pray that even every need might be met in these days regarding those who are unwell, those who are in grief, those, Lord, who are perhaps depressed or discouraged, that the Lord would be pleased to meet every need today. And continually, may we be aware of the Lord's presence with us and his guiding and giving hand to be our portion. Thank you, Lord, again for the words of that psalm that remind all of us that the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. Yeah, we have a goodly heritage. And Lord, we're asking today that we would look much to thee in these days. And Lord, we pray that even come the end of February, the beginning of March, that the circumstances would be such that we would be able to be back safely meeting in our buildings again. And in the meantime, we pray that you would work on in hearts, that unsaved loved ones might seek the Lord while he is to be found. And may our people, Lord, even in the mission field at this time, know tokens for good, the Lord's hand upon them at this time. Bless us all now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you to turn this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. You know that Paul wrote those two letters, two epistles to the church at Corinth, and we're looking today in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. I'm going to read just a few verses at the beginning of the chapter and then move on down the chapter a little bit and read some more verses there. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." And then we go down, please, to verse 12 of the chapter. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Amen. We're ending the reading there, and we're taking as our text this morning the words at the end of verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In my lifetime, I have never heard more cries concerning rights and concerning freedom, and you could say concerning liberty. Now, some of the cries are justified. They come from those who are greatly oppressed and in great need. But many of the cries that I am aware of, and maybe you are as well, they are cries from the hearts of those who want all of us not only to tolerate, but to accept and legitimize and almost embrace that which is exceedingly sinful and that which at every turn is set against the Word of God and the God of the Scriptures himself. And what is called liberty or freedom really is not liberty or freedom at all. It really is a license to live in sin and to just do that which is right in their own eyes. You're aware of that, Christian, and so am I. But the Christian, those who are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's you today if you're saved, you have a spirit. And that spirit is the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to say that every Christian possesses the Spirit of God. You now know that. We're indwelt by a spirit at conversion. And the presence of the Holy Ghost in us enables us to live in the Spirit, even in sometimes difficult circumstances, to walk in the Spirit. And at times like now, He enables us to worship in the Spirit. He also enables us to display the fruit of the Spirit. And that is what true liberty is. It is freedom in Christ. And Christian, that's not something that you have to hanker after. It's something you have now because of the new birth, because you are born again of God's Holy Spirit. I'm not preaching sinless perfection, because I don't find it in the Bible except with one man, that is Christ. But what I'm saying is that you, Christian, and I are freed from the dominion of sin, and surely, that being the case, we are freed from the love of sin. Yes, you can have your struggles and your temptations that you have to deal with. But remember what Paul said when he was writing to the church at Rome. He said, ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. And then he goes on to say, ye became the servants of God. And that is where you are today, and I am today, Christian. And in many hearts and on many lips, there's the cry for liberty. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're shown what true liberty is. For it says in our text today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the reference had been made there to the Jew and their unbelief. And many believe there's a day coming when there will be a great turning to the Lord among those very people. And that is true. But as I look at this text today, I say, here surely is a word for me, a word to encourage us all of the time, but even in these days of pandemic and days of restriction upon our movements and what we can and cannot do and how we have to consider our neighbours and consider ourselves and consider our people and our congregations regarding our coming together and so on. We want to think here of this Spirit of the Lord giving liberty to his people. So really, the title today is in the text, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Just because there is a pandemic now, you and I know, Christian, that we're not sitting idle. There are certain things that we love to do, which we are not just able to do at the present time, but that does not mean that the Lord is still not working for his people and through his people. And even this very day, he's still using the likes of you and I as instruments in his hand. Therefore, first of all, We want to say, as we look at this liberty that's found with the Spirit of God being present in his people, there is liberty in duty. The apostle said, for it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. I'll look at that perhaps in a moment or two. But I want to look with you over there just now at what it says there in the Psalm number 89. Maybe you would look there. We're speaking here about liberty in our duty for the Lord. And the Lord makes it very plain here when he says in verse 20 of Psalm 89, I have found David my servant. And then it says, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, you read the story of Samuel anointing David, and you know that David was the one who was to be king in Israel. And everyone knows him as the sweet psalmist of Israel, or the man after God's own heart. But it goes on to say there in verse 21, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. It's the word hand there that I want to draw your attention to just for a moment. Of course, the hand, when you read of God's hand in the Bible, you're referring to God's strength. But there's other meanings to it. The word hand here literally means, it means hand to hand, or to fill the hand. If you would put two hands together and fill the hands with something in, it means, it literally means to fill the hand. That's literally what it means. It also carries the thought of a contract between two people. For in this day and age, if you are signing a contract with someone, you may or may not, you may shake hands, you get the meaning. Or there'll be the touching of hands. And the Lord really here is saying, I have anointed David, and with whom my hand or my power shall be established. In other words, my hand will be filled full. How? By David. Because David had a duty to fulfill for the Lord. And when you think of the contract or the hand to hand, yes, David was a man after God's own heart. And we all know, if you know anything of David's experience, it wasn't to be plain sailing for him. And he was not. He made a big mistake in his life when he actually should have been fulfilling his duty. It was a time when the kings go forth to war, and he was sitting in his house, and he was loafing when he should have been working. And then he spotted Bathsheba, and it was all downhill from David after that. Adultery, then deceit, murder, cover-up, then brokenness, and eventually confession and getting back into fellowship with the Lord. We're thinking here of liberty. And the Lord is saying here that David would fill God's hand, as it were. He would be the instrument of the Lord. He was, because he was a converted man and God's the one that God had anointed to be king, he was the instrument in the hand of the Lord. What duty he had to fulfill. And he knew great liberty. There were times in his experience that were unsurpassed. And things seemed to be going just so well because the Lord was there and the Lord was giving to him. And the many, many things that he put his hand to, the Lord was giving to him great liberty. And whenever Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, it's in Philippians chapter 2. I may have shared these words with some of you before, but they bear repetition. It's good to remind ourselves of what Paul said there in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. It says toward the end of that verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the word work out, some of you may be aware, is a word that the word in the original work out was written by, it was written about by some of the Greek writers, the ancient writers, and some of them usually said that the word work out there referred to the silver mines and to the working the ore out of the earth. Some of them also wrote that it was a reference to the farmer working the ground and preparing it and breaking up the fallow ground and so on and preparing ground for seeding. And whatever other meanings may be attached to it, it certainly meant effort. And it meant the working out of something which you already had. Those who worked out the silver mines already had the mines. The farmer already had the land to work out. And you and I already have salvation. So when he says work out your own salvation, he's not saying work for it. You already have it. But he's saying make the best of it. If I go a little bit further, he's really saying, see that it is your duty to make the best of it, because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with godly fear and with reverence toward the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where it says there, it is God which worketh there, is connected with energizing. And it also says there, both to will, or the word meaning to desire his will. Sometimes we can become a little bit apathetic, and we can become less zealous than we would want to be. And I know that these are very difficult times for everyone. There are challenges for every single one of us. And I know that for some Christians, certainly that I know of, there are more challenges there at this time. But God is able. And he's able to come along to you and I today and to work in us both to will and to do his good pleasure, to stir up our hearts, to give us a great desire to serve him. And that being the case, then we will work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We live a desire. We live a desire to bring glory to God's name. That is really what the apostle was writing about in these verses 12 and 13 of Philippians chapter 2. He was bringing, the Lord was bringing to their attention, and he's bringing to our attention today, the importance of duty, but the liberty. Liberty and duty. Freedom to do it. Freedom to follow the Lord's leading. And you and I, we might say, we can say we're voluntary workers. Voluntary workers that are weak in ourselves, but we will be equipped. You'll not be equipped to do something that the Lord wants someone else to do. And don't be hankering after someone else's place. But take the task he gives you gladly. And you and I, as we take the task he gives us gladly, he will equip us to fulfill that task. Remember, of course, that Christian duty is a privilege. David said, I will run in the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And to enlarge our heart is to enlarge our heart in obedience, and to draw us out more and more after himself. And folks, in these days when things have been so unusual for almost a year now, and you might add that by the time we get back into church, God willing, in early March, if that happens, that out of the past year, we've been actually out of our meetings more or less half a year, which sounds horrendous, extremely strange and difficult times. But God's work goes on, doing what we can. And that is why we invite you to be part of our ministry there on Facebook. We know that some of you, maybe you're not prone to go to Facebook a lot, neither am I. I'm actually not on it as an individual. I do go in my wife's name to look at the page and can do various things there. But if you are there, you can be part of it by sharing. And there's a lot of other things. Maybe in your workplace there are many people discouraged now and they're not saved. And they need, as it were, someone to turn to. Someone to share with them a little message of hope. The Lord can give you liberty. Remember our text, it's where the Spirit of the Lord is. And the Spirit of the Lord is associated with his people because he indwells his people. We walk in him. We live in the Spirit. We seek to display the fruit of the Spirit by the help of the Spirit. And we worship in the Spirit. And that being the case, the Lord can give you those few words. Those few words that perhaps desperate person that you know needs to hear. I trust the Lord will help all of us to know that liberty and duty. But there are dangers. There are dangers regarding our liberty and duty. And there is the thought of fear. Fear grips us sometimes, all of us. And if we're not very careful, fear would have us feel that there's far more liberty out with the world system than there is with us. Seem to sin with impunity. Judgment never seems to come. Things go on as they always were, sometimes in our eyes. But remembering this, remember what we said at the start, the Lord is in control. He has saved you, Christian. He loves you. You're part of his church. You're a stone in that great edifice, the church of Christ on earth. You're useful to him. Don't let fear take you away from enjoying liberty as you seek to fulfill your duty toward him. Fear is one of the dangers. Formality is another one. Formality is all around us. Sometimes places where there used to be vibrant Christianity and faithful gospel preaching, now there's a formal sort of a ritual. And I heard such a thing not that very long ago. Sometimes at funerals, in other places, we come away in despair. Because what we heard really was something which was just formality. There was no Christ in it. There was no life in the message. And as individual Christians, you and I, while we may be associated with gospel preaching church, and we're glad that you are, but that drudgery can come to us, and deadness can come. And that is the opposite of being revived. And that is the opposite of actually walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and worshipping in the Spirit. And I know that whenever we're away from each other, we're not able to enjoy fellowship as we love to do just at this time. Maybe the danger is there all the more of falling into formality and drudgery, deadness. And maybe there's no appetite for the things of God. Maybe I'm speaking to some one person from somewhere, and there's no appetite today for the word of God. Well, remember what we read in Philippians. The Lord can work within you. It's him that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. If you're losing out, fall on your knees now. Ask the Lord to come and revive your heart again. One of the dangers in our liberty, join our liberty to fulfill our duty, is fear. Another one's formality. But there's yet another one, and it's called forgetfulness. How soon, and I put my hand up as well and say, how soon we forget what the Lord has done. How he has answered prayer for us. How he's made a way for us when we didn't think there was a way. How he has restrained us when we were going to say or do something which was hurtful or perhaps really silly and was going to harm us or going to affect someone else, and the Lord come along and he restrained us, and yet we forget. And he provided for us spiritually when we were at a low ebb, and yet we forget. You think of Gideon. Gideon's people had, Israel had known great blessing. The Lord had in a tremendous way blessed Deborah. And the Lord had really shown favor to the people there. But quickly they turned to worldly ways. And it seemed that the Lord's favor was withdrawn. And one man who didn't like that was Gideon. And Gideon was hiding from the battle. I hope you're not hiding from the battle today, Christian, but you're eager to serve the Lord. Gideon was hiding, and the Lord loved him. And the Lord came along and he said, Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon wasn't amused. He said, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? In other words, he'd forgotten what God had done in the past. Now, we know that the Lord really helped Gideon, and the Lord really worked in him, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he became a mighty instrument in the hand of the Lord because he was filled with the Spirit of God. But when he was at the wine press, hiding, wasn't much indication there that he was filled with the Spirit. He'd forgotten what God can do. And I was in some ways rebuked just the other day speaking to a young man, two young men actually, and they were reminding me that while these are difficult times because of the pandemic, and while things at a spiritual level seem to be at a low ebb, There's always been times like this through history. And it's as though things go in circles and revival comes and the church is greatly stirred and many are saved, and then eventually that revival seems to go away. And there's times of debauchery and departure and apostasy, deadness. And then it comes around again, and you've had revivals the way back in 1859, and then the Lord moved again in Ulster here in the 1920s. And in some ways moved through the century at other times as well. But I was not only rebuked, but I was reminded of all that God has done before for his people. And Christian, what he's done for us, he's able to do again. What he's done for you, he's able to do again. Remember, you have liberty today. Liberty and duty to serve him. And let may the Lord help us all to fulfill that duty the very best that we can, knowing his help. I must move on now very quickly. We also have liberty in devotion. Someone rightly said that what we are on our own, of course meaning before the Lord, we are on our own, we're always before the Lord. But what we are on our own really is what we are. You see, we can all be anything when we're together, and that is true. But what we are on our own is what we are. And I think, when I think of that, I think of sitting at the Saviour's feet. Do you remember whenever Mary and Martha were in the house in Bethany and the Lord came along, and Martha was in a panic because she had so much to do. Probably every single thing she was doing needed to be done and was right to do. But the Lord was there and Mary was sitting at his feet. And whenever Mary complained about Martha complained about Mary not helping her, the Lord said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He also said, one thing is needful. He did not dismiss the ordinary things, if you can call them that, that Martha was doing. But he was impressing upon her mind the thought that there needed to be that time sitting at his feet. And when he said concerning Mary, she has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The good part certainly refers to she was there that she might get more grace. Maybe you need more grace today. You can have it now. That she might have closer communion. That she might have a more accurate view of the Lord's will and purpose. And so many other things that came her way because she spent time at the Lord's feet. When I was thinking of that, I thought of what we read there in Acts chapter 10 regarding Peter. And it says there in Acts chapter 10, remember we're thinking here of liberty and devotion. Mary had that as she sat at the Saviour's feet. But if you read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, it says there at the end of that verse, Acts chapter 10 verse 9, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, it seems to me that he had a set time and a set place, and it is so important for you and I to come aside even from a busy schedule. And I know how difficult it is with children in a home and how there can be lots of noise and lots of responsibility. So important to get alone with the Lord. And Peter here seemed to have that habit of getting alone with the Lord. It's a busy time for him. It says, but Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And it's very, very important to remember that he did this just before he went forth with the gospel to the Gentiles. And as he was praying there, it says in verse 10 that he became very hungry and would have eaten. There's a great lesson there for us. The flesh resisting. And if we're honest, is there any time when the flesh resists more than when we come to prayer? And we become weary and our thoughts wander and we suddenly become tired and we can't focus on what we wanted to pray for. So it was with Peter here. The flesh was resisting. The Lord drew near, and what the Lord showed him in verses 11 through verse 16, I'll not take time to read them all just now. It just shows us that the Lord did bring some food down to him, and Peter said he wouldn't eat it because it was unclean. Verse 15 says, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. And it says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stayed before the gate. You see, what Peter needed to do, what Peter needed to be shown in sitting at the Lord's feet, was that he was a prejudiced man. He was prejudiced, and this being prejudiced against the Gentiles, he was a Jew, being prejudiced against those who were not Jews would hinder his usefulness. Christian, how often the Lord shows us things when we're sitting at his feet. When we're sitting before him seeking his face, and he exposes something in our heart or brings to our thoughts something that we need to deal with. Maybe he can do that for you and me. Maybe he can do it today as we think of devotion and sitting at his feet. See how important it was for Peter to be there at his feet. Providentially, just as God had taught him this lesson when he showed him what Peter would have looked upon as unclean animals. He said to Peter, rise up, kill and eat. Peter couldn't understand what the lesson was. And then the men from Cornelius' household, they arrived. And then everything fell into place. And what this passage shows me was that this time alone in the housetop was absolutely essential to help Peter to deal with things that were in his heart. How we need to do that sometimes, maybe anger, jealousy, bitterness, which is a deep root, forgetfulness, maybe prejudice. We're just sinners saved by grace, and everyone else that's not saved is just a sinner that is not yet saved by grace. Therefore, we can't be prejudiced against them. Peter took on board the lesson here. For we read over there in chapter 11, when Peter had come and was preaching, it says in verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, he said, I was in the city of Joppa praying. He goes right back to that time, just a while ago, when he was before the Lord, and the Lord showed him his prejudice, showed him the great work of gospel preaching that he needed to do. And what a lesson he learned there, men. And as I said, what we are when we're on our own is really what we are. It's there that we do business with God. And it's there that the Lord can show us things that need to be dealt with. And there the Lord can stir our hearts and revive our hearts. Liberty and devotion, sitting at the Lord's feet, is so important. Searching the scriptures, looking at the Bible day by day for guidance for you, so that we not just are able to say that we're saved, but so that we have an up-to-date walk with the Lord. Sitting at his feet, searching the scriptures, serving others, that can be a stumbling block. You will feel greatly blessed, Christian, and so will I, the more we put others before ourselves. And the more willing we are to take the lowly place in God's work, we'll be greatly blessed in our own souls. Don't seek great things for yourself. God gives you something to do and opens a door. Well, that's one thing. But remember, it's you in your small corner and I in mine. Liberty here in duty, liberty in devotion. And because our time is gone, I must just mention this. There is liberty when dread comes. Remember the disciples, they feared, and the Lord said, fear not, little flock. Maybe you're dreading something today. No matter what way you look out there on the horizon, you can't see a way ahead. Remember, the Lord guides us all one step at a time. One day at a time, and he giveth more grace. And maybe you're dreading just the future itself. Remember this, you're in his grip. You're safe in his hand today. And whatever comes, the Lord can give you liberty. Liberty to live for him. And it's very, very easy to dread a danger that you see, or even that which you just perceive, or that which you feel all around you and is stealing away your joy. Remember your liberty today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. One other thing to mention, liberty and desire. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord gives us liberty, which he does, there ought to be that desire to show more grace to others, to our brethren and sisters, to know what it is every day to be filled with the Spirit, and every day to strive for that, to ask intelligently for big things and then look for the Lord to move in his own way regarding that request. And don't let the world, which is a world that has fallen and broken, don't let it bring you into defeat, Christian. But remember, again, our text today, that the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I must end now. I trust the Lord will use these words to encourage you and strengthen you and lead you on with himself. We do thank you for listening, trusting the Lord will bless his word to your hearts.